Well, while the kids are making their way out, let's pause and take a moment and pray together, shall we? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as your people, called, redeemed, made alive by you, by your grace towards us. Father, I pray that you would give us an awareness of your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit would be indeed alive and at work in our hearts and our minds, convicting us of our sins, causing us to draw near to Christ, and bearing in us fruit that is in accordance with your good will. And I pray and ask this all in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been spending the last couple weeks looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. And we've said that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, who is God himself, and that, as we say in the Creed, he is the Lord and the giver of life, like the breath of God that goes out, fulfilling and enacting the promises of God. What does the Holy Spirit do? We've said that's who he is. Well, what does he do? And we've spent the last few weeks answering that question. That's a big question, and there's a lot that we can answer it with. But specifically, we've looked at the Spirit's role in convicting us, showing us our sinful nature, so that we might see how much we really do need a Savior, that the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth, that the things that we come to know and understand about God and reading his scripture and understanding that comes as the gift and work of the Holy Spirit. We spent the last 2 weeks spending some time looking at the gifts that the Spirit gives to his people. Gifts of teaching and evangelism, of great faith, and yes, even the working of miracles and of healing. And all of these gifts, God says, are not just for a select few, like, for example, the clergy, but are intended for all of God's people. That the Spirit has given gifts to all for the building up of the body. And we've been asking the question, what gifts has God, through his Spirit, given to you to serve him and to build up the congregation around you? What we're going to do today is we're going to look at not the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. And then next week, we're going to wrap up this series, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the indwelling of the Spirit. But this week, we're going to spend some time looking at the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if the great passage on the gifts of the Spirit, as we looked at last week, was 1 Corinthians 12, the great passage on the fruit of the Spirit is the one that we read this morning from Galatians chapter 5. And in this passage, Paul is drawing a comparison between the fruit of the flesh, that is, of our sinful nature, and the fruit of the Spirit. And to unpack these things, this fruit of the Spirit, I want to talk about the law, and I want to talk about gardening. And then we'll wrap it up. So first, Paul is speaking to this church in Galatia, and he says, the fruit of the Spirit. And he rattles off a list. But I want you to know, what is the first fruit that he lists in this long list of fruit that God's Spirit is intended to produce? What's the first one that he rattles off? Love. Now, I don't think that the list that he gives us is sort of in descending order of importance, as if to say faithfulness and gentleness and kindness are less significant, as if to say that the least important one is self-control. I don't think that's the case at all. But I think it is significant to note that the first thing that Paul indicates that God's Spirit will produce within us is love. Now, if you recall last week when we were looking at gifts of the Spirit, we said that the great chapter in all the Bible on love, a sweeping, momentous, powerful, stirring chapter on what love is found smack wedged between the two chapters on spiritual gifts. Kind of an odd place to be talking about love. But here again, we have Paul talking about the love that God produces within us. Why love? Well, what is the great commandment? In the Rite One services, we refresh our memory. We touch off on that in every service. We don't do it at Rite Two. Kind of wish we did, but we don't. Whatever. What is the great commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're getting ready for vacation Bible school, so I'm kind of getting my hand motions, getting my arms warmed up for that. But that's the great commandment, that you would love God basically with everything you got. And then the second is like unto it, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, Jesus says, hang all the law and the prophets. In Romans, Paul says that the keeping of all the law is found in love. So I think that it's of no small consequence that the first thing that Paul indicates that the Holy Spirit will produce in you and me is love. Why? Well, because, frankly, if all it took for you and me to love God with everything we have and to love each other as we ought was for God to say, well, just go and love each other. Okay. Right? But the simple fact is that we don't. We know we would want to. It'd be a wonderful thing. We can envision it, but day in and day out, we don't. You tell your children to do something. Put that stick down. It's a good thing. And even somewhere in their minds, if they know, yeah, I need to put this stick down, what happens? They don't. It happens later in life. You know, insider trading, bad. The people that do it know they shouldn't be doing it. But they do anyway, right? So what I'm saying is that the law of God doesn't create in us the ability to love. It tells us we should, but it doesn't enable us to do it. What enables us to fulfill God's law, to love as we ought, has to come as God's work in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, the work of the Spirit in you and me produces obedience to God's law, which is beautiful and wonderful and freeing. You are free to love, not free from loving. Okay? That's the law. What about gardening? Well, if anybody here has spent any amount of time gardening, it's a lot of fun. You get good stuff out of it, but it's a fair bit of work. And when you go to garden, what's one tool that you really don't need? It's one of these. You don't need a watch to garden, right? Now, plenty of people, when they garden, wear watches because, oh, I got to be out of here by 5 because we're going to dinner. But nobody gardens with a watch. Plant the seed. You never see a gardener doing one of those, do you? Why? Because it takes time. It takes time for a seed to take to germinate and to grow roots and grow into a plant and begin to bear fruit. You can't put a stopwatch on a good tomato. I mean, you could try, but you can be out there for a while, right? So a watch is not a helpful tool in the art of gardening. I think the same can be said of God's work through His Holy Spirit in our lives. We want it right now. I want it all, and I want it now, right? That's human nature. With a little nod of the hat to Queen. But that captivates something, doesn't it? The truth sticks. And the simple reality is that in God's work of changing us and growing us and causing us to bear fruit, it takes time and it doesn't happen when and where we want it. Which causes us to put our trust back in God again. Now, I also want to say And to continue in our metaphor of gardening in terms of bearing fruit, how do you know if a plant that's growing in your garden is healthy, that it's got good roots, that the plant is growing, it's getting enough sunlight and water? How can you tell that it's a healthy plant? By looking at its fruit, right? You know you've got a good tomato plant, and you've got a nice ripe red tomato, and you practically touch it, and it comes off the vine. And it looks so, you just want to eat it right there off the vine. And it's just flavor explosion, it's wonderful. In fact, we're growing some tomatoes in our garden, and my son, who, you know, like most kids, isn't huge on vegetables, but boy, you get him out in front of that garden, he just wants to go right down the line, right? So do I. So does Amy. So the point that we're saying is that how do you know that the plant that you're growing is, in fact, healthy? You can tell, most apparently, by the fruit that it's bearing. And then if you've got a fruit that's all brown or unformed or, you know, or whatever, then that's usually a good indication that the plant's not getting what it needs. Jesus says the exact same thing in the Gospels. He says that a good root, a good tree, produces good fruit. He says you cannot have a bad root, a bad tree, producing good fruit. It just doesn't work. He said, so you will know a tree, a root, by its fruit, by what comes out of it. And this is a very singular description of how we understand human nature. What matters most in God's eyes is that our root, our heart, be made right and healthy and whole and well. And then from that will naturally spring good fruit. So the question then is, well, how do I make my root good? How do I get the heart right so good fruit can bear? Well, the answer is, I can't just tell you, hey, go out there and make a good root. Change your heart. Because if I did, I'd be making a law out of something God is going to do. So how do we change our hearts, our roots? Well, as I've hopefully, if you've been tracking with me through this series, I think you might know the answer to that already. That it's actually the work of the Holy Spirit that will show us where our hearts and our roots are unhealthy and will lead us by faith back to the promises of God. The promises of forgiveness, that he does in fact love the unlovable. That God has this amazing thing, this amazing capacity to look at a gnarled, withered, jacked up plant and heal it and love it and change it and forgive it. It's like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. You know that story is actually a gospel story. The love of the unlovable, that's got Christ written all over it. And God loves us. And through faith in Christ and by trusting in his promises, God through his Spirit will renew our hearts and will, by his grace and power, produce within us love, joy, peace, patience. I don't know about you, but I can use some more patience always. Maybe it's ironic that my all-time favorite song is Guns N' Roses' Patience, but different kind of patience. Kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of a life, of a heart that has been renewed in Christ. And against these, Paul says, there is no law. So that is the work of the Spirit in our lives, bearing fruit. Amen.